Good morning. And in the spirit of extending our sense of welcome, I invite you now to turn and bow to your neighbors. Please feel free to continue the conversation out loud when the service has concluded. Unity Church is committed to welcoming everyone, especially those who have been excluded due to race, gender identity, or sexual orientation. Your gifts and your wounds are welcome here. I want to extend a special welcome to those of you who are visiting or are here for the first time. We hope you find Unity Church to be a place which helps you find and keep your balance, a place which nourishes you and inspires you to lead a loving life of integrity, service, and joy. If you'd like to learn more about Unity Church and our liberal faith tradition, please stop by the welcome table in the parish hall following the service. There you can sign up for one of our Pathway to Membership classes, including the Welcome to Unity, our class for newcomers, which will be offered on Wednesday evening, October 13th. I want to draw your attention, as we do each week, to This Week at Unity, which serves as an invitation to all the many activities going on in the life of Unity Church. The Blessing of the Animals service will be held today at 1 o'clock in the courtyard. This is an intergenerational service celebrating the many ways that animals contribute to our lives. In reading, song, and a special blessing, all are invited to bring leashed or contained pets, or a picture of an animal or pet for the service. New York Times best-selling author Senna Jeter Neslin will read from and sign copies of her new book, Adam and Eve, at 2 p.m. in the Foot Room today. This event is, of course, sponsored by our wonderful Unity Library team, and all are welcome. Make a difference in the life of a child in our neighborhood by serving as a weekly mentor in the Michelle and Barack Obama Elementary School this year. This is the fourth year that Unity Church has participated in this project in collaboration with the St. Paul Council of Churches Support Our Schools program. Volunteers may choose the day and time that fits their schedule, and all mentors will receive training. For more information, stop at the parish hall table or contact Pat Half at the church office for this hands-on personal ministry. Unity Church and Common Ground Books are joining forces for this Wellspring Wednesday to create a public reading for the work of Bill Holm. This will be a stirring tribute to the excellence of his witness and will include readers Jim Hayden, Phoebe Hansen, Carol Connolly, Freya Manfred, and Joyce Soupfed. Wellspring Wednesday evenings, of course, begin with a hot, nutritious meal at 6, intergenerational worship at 6:45, and then programming at 7:15. Join Holman Ministerial Intern Jason Seymour for the first of a three-part educational series that will explore enduring themes and major events in the evolution of our faith tradition. The first part of this course will cover the development of Unitarianism and liberal religious thought from early Christianity to 19th century Europe. This class will meet 5 times. Each meeting will offer opportunities for fellowship and conversation. You can sign up in the parish hall. Please join with us for refreshment and fellowship in the parish hall. And when you get there, you will see you can peruse our book stall or stop by the pastoral care table and leave a note of care for someone mentioned in the Embrace and Meditation. Next Sunday, we will hold our all-congregational worship service, All God's Critters, at the St. Paul River Center Grand Ballroom. We are not, even though it's going to be a gorgeous day, because God is Unitarian Universalist, we will not be holding it at Harriet Island because of the flooding of the Mississippi River. So the city has moved us from Harriet Island to the River Center. The change of venue will still allow us to gather as one congregation, and I implore you, if you are available next Sunday, to come, because you don't want to miss this remarkable worship extravaganza that we have planned. Mila, Unity Choir, Unity Singers, and Carrie Meyer, the ministerial teams, bees, crickets, coyotes, fish, a moose, and a whale will at least be in the lobby. And do whether the whale can make it all the way up to our worship space is another question. Parking is free for all of you at the River Center parking ramp, which is located on Kellogg Boulevard. Just tell them you're from Unity Church and you will get free parking. On all this and information, including directions, is available on our website. Following the service today, Katie and I would love to greet you by the Portland Avenue doors. And once again, welcome to Unity Church. It is a joy to be together. Thank you.
I long for rest. I long to really and truly love. I long to feel free, to feel joy, to be at peace. I long to be in touch with my own aliveness, my own goodness, my own preciousness and depth. I long to know, to have clarity, and to be truly awake. What is this longing, if not a longing for my own true nature, my highest self, the depths of my own being? A longing for what Rumi calls the beloved, and for what others call God. What form does your longing take? Come, let us worship together. Please remain standing and join with us in the responsive reading number 607, found in the back of your hymnal. Cloak yourself in 1,000 ways, still shall I know you, my beloved. I shall salute you in the springing of cypresses and in the sheen of lakes, the laughter of fountains.
I shall surely see you in
tall grass, in brightly embroidered meadows. O beloved presence, more beautiful than all the stars together. You gladden the whole earth and make every heart great.
You are the beginning of the world.
Please join us in a few moments of silent contemplation.
Thank you.
May we always have time to pause for the singing of angels. Each time we gather for worship, we set aside a moment to expand the caring ministry of this congregation. Together, we recognize the cycle of life and death, the circle of love, compassion, and witness that is at the center of this sacred community. Our hearts are always with those whose primary spiritual practice is the caring for children, with those who care for family members in ill health, or who themselves live with grief or chronic pain, with mental illness or addiction. Our lives are blessed by those who knowingly and with curiosity and courage face their final days. We pray for our neighbors in prison and for those who struggle to keep going in the midst of economic challenge. May the leaders of the world find the wisdom and abiding courage to inspire and institute positive change. And may we hold the leaders of this beloved congregation as they imagine and plan for our future. And will you pray with me for these we now name? We send our healing thoughts to Christy Randall's mother, Martina Shanefelt, who was hospitalized this past week unexpectedly. Christy is with her now and hopes to be able to bring her home soon. We also send healing thoughts and prayers to Richard Wolfgram, who is undergoing another hip replacement procedure this week. We pray that this will be his last one. We mourn the death and celebrate the life of our dear friend, colleague, and mentor, the Reverend Dr. Brandy Lovely. Brandy served our ministry with wisdom and distinction. A service will be held in his honor next Saturday in Pasadena, California. Congratulations to Greg Starkweather Nelson and Katie Ann Deutsch, who were married in an interfaith Catholic and Unitarian Universalist ceremony yesterday. And congratulations to Leif Park Jordan, who just learned that he has become a National Merit semifinalist. May we stand in compassionate solidarity with our neighbors all around the world who suffer in the midst of habitual violence. May they and we become instruments of a lasting peace. And now I invite you to speak aloud or hold in the silent sanctuary of your hearts the names of those you would like to remember this morning. For the names which have been spoken and the names which remain in the silent sanctuary of our hearts, may we be forever grateful for this tapestry we weave together. And now will you join with me in a moment of prayer? O Eternal Spirit, you who we call by different names and yet are beyond all naming, you who we approach by different paths and yet we are unified as one in our search. Remind us, as the seasons turn round again, as they always do, to guard our hearts from the bondage of cynicism and despair. As disrespect swirls around us in public discourse, may we demonstrate respect for all opinions and perspectives. May the beauty of a falling leaf remind us of the fragile gift each life is and fill our lives with reverence for the beauty that surrounds us. May courage loosen the cords that bind us so that we might awaken to a new kind of freedom of the spirit. May mercy save us and serve us. Gratitude inspire us. And love guide us as we walk with intention through our days. May we wake up and discover that we are the eyes of the world, so much in need of healing and compassion. May it be so.
A garden inside me, unknown, secret, neglected for years, the layers of its soil deep and thick, trees in the corners with branching arms and the tangled briars of broken nets. Sunrise through the misted orchard, morning sun turns silver on the pointed twigs. I have woken from the sleep of ages, and I'm not sure if I'm really seeing or dreaming, or simply astonished, walking toward sunrise, to have stumbled into the garden where the stone was rolled from the tomb of longing.
The poets and the mystics have something important to teach us about the power of longing to connect with our deepest and highest selves and with our individual and collective capacity to wake up, to love, and to live fully awakened and engaged. They seem to understand that longing can create and form a bridge between what we are, what we know and experience, and what we long for in life. We long to connect to our best selves and the best selves of others, to weave communities of connections that are real and transformative. We long to be sustained and fulfilled not by things, but with the deep sustenance of relatedness within, among, and beyond. Longing also creates a bridge to the God-shaped hollow of emptiness that every human being carries and with which each of us must contend. I would even argue that longing emerges from the God-shaped hollow and can lead us toward positive and life-enforcing practices or self-destructive habits of denial and fear. In a society that consistently tells us over and over again that we can fill up the hollow with things, it is countercultural to learn to accept or befriend that emptiness. Perhaps no one spoke more clearly about the role of longing in the religious life than Rumi, 13th century ecstatic poet, teacher, judge, and mystic, who discovered Sufism in his travels as a young man. He and Sufism were both transformed by the encounter. Now, I want to pause briefly here and share something with you I think worth remembering. 3 years ago, when marking the 800th birthday of Rumi, professors and Islamic scholars Fatma Kashvaj and James Morris told an NPR audience that 80% of the Muslim world converted after poets and musicians carried Rumi's work there. In every place but the Arab world, Rumi's face is one of the prominent faces of mainstream Islam. What the poet has to teach resonates with people all around the world in the language of longing, connection, and love.
Don't go anywhere without me. Let nothing happen in the sky apart from me, or on the ground in this world or that world, without my being in it happening. Vision, see nothing I don't see. Language, say nothing. The way the night knows itself with the moon, be that with me. Be the rose nearest the thorn that I am. I want to feel myself in you when you taste food, in the arc of the mallet when you work, when you visit friends, when you go up on the roof by yourself at night.
A Sufi master told a story of a man who was sent a prayer rug while he was imprisoned by his friend. He was bitterly disappointed because what he wanted was a file or a crowbar or a key. But in his boredom, he began to use his rug to pray 5 times a day. And slowly over time, as he bowed and sat and bowed again, he noticed an odd pattern in the weave of the rug, where his head touched. He meditated on the pattern, gradually discovering that woven into the rug was a diagram of the lock that had unjustly confined him in his cell, and he was able to escape. Sufis seek a freedom received from the mystical experience of oneness, and they do so in three related but distinct practices: ecstatic union, noetic or intellectual union, and love union. And today, Katie and I will touch separately on these practices which spring from spiritual longing. First, noetic union. Noetic knowledge, as Rumi scholar Coleman Barks refers to it, is not based in factual knowledge, but it is how we see the world, how we come to know our world, and it is based in intuitive knowledge. It begins with noticing, and then moves to understanding, and then connection. For the aim of all mystical practices is the reunion of that which appears to be separated. Coleman Bark writes, "The world remains in view with its significance recognized, the sudden opening of one's eyes to the elaborate, extravagant beauty around us, the gorgeous dirt road leading to the river, 3 million galaxies, the gold around a frog's eyes, the intricacy of the present moment, all the wealth we need." The clarity that Rumi calls reason is a brilliant lawfulness, the coherence in any system, and the mystical and the scientific both attend the same layered intelligence, the grand and precise artistry of existence. The interconnected web of existence with its grand and intricate connections calls us out of the tomb of our forgetfulness to notice the beauty that surrounds us, the beauty and brokenness that is present in all. Come, come, whoever you are, wanderer, worshiper, lover of leaving, though you have broken your vows 1,000 times, ours is no caravan of despair. Come, come, yet again come. Will the families of our babies please come forward, and we welcome our friends from Spirit Play who come each time we dedicate our babies.
Wallace Robbins, as minister of our church from 1937 to 1943, was fond of saying, "We dare not fence the spirit. As others have their way in religion, so do we have this faith, and by it we order our lives together. There are some traditions who believe that every child that comes into the world already sinful and must be cleansed of that sin by act of the church. That is not our way. Despite the evidence that sin is real, we do not believe that it is inborn. We believe that every child born is born whole and holy with the potential to live a full and loving life. And so today, we do not wash away these children's sin, but instead, we promise, as a community, to be there with them and for them, with them and for their parents, in helping them to live that whole and holy, loving life in which we believe and in which we place our hopes." And we go on and bless you, my child, with the ground, the earth, dirt, that you might remember you have a body and it's beautiful.
And we bless you with fire, that you might know a passionate mind and heart, know a body that brings you pleasure, that you might have an upright sense of morality and love.
When we bless you with the air, that you might follow your breath to stillness, that you might find your voice for singing and for praying and for protest.
And lastly, we inspire you and bless you with beauty. And these roses still have their thorns, because we would not want to lie to you about the world that you have been born into. But we tell you that we will, and this faith tradition will, serve to be with you as you discover life's thorns and remind you of the beauty.
What name have you chosen for this child? Jonathan Harry Seymour. We name you as your parents have named you, born one more Redeemer.
Chosen for this child? Phoebe Joy, we name you. As your parents have named you, one more Redeemer. And now will you stand as you are able and join with us in the dedication of the children.
It is our faith that each child born is one more Redeemer.
By the service of tradition, we commit ourselves to the nurture. Are you ready to dedicate yourself to Jonathan Harry Seymour, Phoebe Joy Janish Liga?
We are prepared.
Will you strive to love and cherish them in times of struggle as well as gladness?
We will love and cherish them always. We acknowledge the divine spark within each child.
May we be worthy guardians of these young lives.
May we build a community in which they will grow old, surrounded by beauty, embraced by love, and cradled in the arms of peace.
Good morning. And in the spirit of extending our sense of welcome, I invite you now to turn and bow to your neighbors. Please feel free to continue the conversation out loud when the service has concluded. Unity Church is committed to welcoming everyone, especially those who have been excluded due to race, gender identity, or sexual orientation. Your gifts and your wounds are welcome here. I want to extend a special welcome to those of you who are visiting or are here for the first time. We hope you find Unity Church to be a place which helps you find and keep your balance, a place which nourishes you and inspires you to lead a loving life of integrity, service, and joy. If you'd like to learn more about Unity Church and our liberal faith tradition, please stop by the welcome table in the parish hall following the service. There you can sign up for one of our Pathway to Membership classes, including the Welcome to Unity, our class for newcomers, which will be offered on Wednesday evening, October 13th. I want to draw your attention, as we do each week, to This Week at Unity, which serves as an invitation to all the many activities going on in the life of Unity Church. The Blessing of the Animals service will be held today at 1 o'clock in the courtyard. This is an intergenerational service celebrating the many ways that animals contribute to our lives. In reading, song, and a special blessing, all are invited to bring leashed or contained pets, or a picture of an animal or pet for the service. New York Times best-selling author Senna Jeter Neslin will read from and sign copies of her new book, Adam and Eve, at 2 p.m. in the footroom today. This event is, of course, sponsored by our wonderful Unity Library team, and all are welcome. Make a difference in the life of a child in our neighborhood by serving as a weekly mentor in the Michelle and Barack Obama Elementary School this year. This is the fourth year that Unity Church has participated in this project in collaboration with the St. Paul Council of Churches Support Our Schools program. Volunteers may choose the day and time that fits their schedule, and all mentors will receive training. For more information, stop at the parish hall table or contact Pat Half at the church office for this hands-on personal ministry. Unity Church and Common Ground Books are joining forces for this Wellspring Wednesday to create a public reading for the work of Bill Holm. This will be a stirring tribute to the excellence of his witness and will include readers Jim Hayden, Phoebe Hansen, Carol Connolly, Freya Manfred, and Joyce Supfed. Wellspring Wednesday evenings, of course, begin with a hot, nutritious meal at 6, intergenerational worship at 6:45, and then programming at 7:15. Join Holman Ministerial Intern Jason Seymour for the first of a three-part educational series that will explore enduring themes and major events in the evolution of our faith tradition. The first part of this course will cover the development of Unitarianism and liberal religious thought from early Christianity to 19th century Europe. This class will meet 5 times. Each meeting will offer opportunities for fellowship and conversation. You can sign up in the parish hall. Please join with us for refreshment and fellowship in the parish hall. And when you get there, you will see you can peruse our book stall or stop by the pastoral care table and leave a note of care for someone mentioned in the Embrace and Meditation. Next Sunday, we will hold our all-congregational worship service, All God's Critters, at the St. Paul River Center Grand Ballroom. We are not, even though it's going to be a gorgeous day, because God is Unitarian Universalist, we will not be holding it at Harriet Island because of the flooding of the Mississippi River. So the city has moved us from Harriet Island to the River Center. The change of venue will still allow us to gather as one congregation, and I implore you, if you are available next Sunday, to come, because you don't want to miss this remarkable worship extravaganza that we have planned. Mila, Unity Choir, Unity Singers, and Carrie Meyer, the ministerial teams, bees, crickets, coyotes, fish, a moose, and a whale will at least be in the lobby. And do whether the whale can make it all the way up to our worship space is another question. Parking is free for all of you at the River Center parking ramp, which is located on Kellogg Boulevard. Just tell them you're from Unity Church and you will get free parking. On all this and information, including directions, is available on our website. Following the service today, Katie and I would love to greet you by the Portland Avenue doors. And once again, welcome to Unity Church. It is a joy to be together. Thank you.
I long for rest. I long to really and truly love. I long to feel free, to feel joy, to be at peace. I long to be in touch with my own aliveness, my own goodness, my own preciousness and depth. I long to know, to have clarity, and to be truly awake. What is this longing, if not a longing for my own true nature, my highest self, the depths of my own being? A longing for what Rumi calls the beloved, and for what others call God. What form does your longing take? Come, let us worship together. Please remain standing and join with us in the responsive reading number 607, found in the back of your hymnal. Cloak yourself in a thousand ways, still shall I know you, my beloved. I shall salute you in the springing of cypresses and in the sheen of lakes, the laughter of fountains.
I shall surely see you in the house, in
writing, O beloved presence, more beautiful than all the stars together. You gladden the whole earth and make every heart great.
You are the beginning of the world.
Please join us in a few moments of silent contemplation.
May we always have time to pause for the singing of angels. Each time we gather for worship, we set aside a moment to expand the caring ministry of this congregation. Together, we recognize the cycle of life and death, the circle of love, compassion, and witness that is at the center of this sacred community. Our hearts are always with those whose primary spiritual practice is the caring for children, with those who care for family members in ill health, or who themselves live with grief or chronic pain, with mental illness or addiction. Our lives are blessed by those who knowingly and with curiosity and courage face their final days. We pray for our neighbors in prison and for those who struggle to keep going in the midst of economic challenge. May the leaders of the world find the wisdom and abiding courage to inspire and institute positive change. And may we hold the leaders of this beloved congregation as they imagine and plan for our future. And will you pray with me for these we now name? We send our healing thoughts to Christy Randall's mother, Martina Schenefeldt, who was hospitalized this past week unexpectedly. Christy is with her now and hopes to be able to bring her home soon. We also send healing thoughts and prayers to Richard Wolfgram, who is undergoing another hip replacement procedure this week. We pray that this will be his last one. We mourn the death and celebrate the life of our dear friend, colleague, and mentor, the Reverend Dr. Brandy Lovely. Brandy served our ministry with wisdom and distinction. A service will be held in his honor next Saturday in Pasadena, California. Congratulations to Greg Starkweather Nelson and Katie Ann Deutsch, who were married in an interfaith Catholic and Unitarian Universalist ceremony yesterday. And congratulations to Leif Park Jordan, who just learned that he has become a National Merit semifinalist. May we stand in compassionate solidarity with our neighbors all around the world who suffer in the midst of habitual violence. May they and we become instruments of a lasting peace. And now I invite you to speak aloud or hold in the silent sanctuary of your hearts the names of those you would like to remember this morning. For the names which have been spoken and the names which remain in the silent sanctuary of our hearts, may we be forever grateful for this tapestry we weave together. And now will you join with me in a moment of prayer? O Eternal Spirit, you who we call by different names and yet are beyond all naming, you who we approach by different paths and yet we are unified as one in our search. Remind us, as the seasons turn round again, as they always do, to guard our hearts from the bondage of cynicism and despair. As disrespect swirls around us in public discourse, may we demonstrate respect for all opinions and perspectives. May the beauty of a falling leaf remind us of the fragile gift each life is and fill our lives with reverence for the beauty that surrounds us. May courage loosen the cords that bind us so that we might awaken to a new kind of freedom of the spirit. May mercy save us and serve us. Gratitude inspire us. And love guide us as we walk with intention through our days. May we wake up and discover that we are the eyes of the world, so much in need of healing and compassion. May it be so.
A garden inside me, unknown, secret, neglected for years, the layers of its soil deep and thick, trees in the corners with branching arms and the tangled briars of broken nets. Sunrise through the misted orchard, morning sun turns silver on the pointed twigs. I have woken from the sleep of ages, and I'm not sure if I'm really seeing or dreaming, or simply astonished, walking toward sunrise, to have stumbled into the garden where the stone was rolled from the tomb of longing.
The poets and the mystics have something important to teach us about the power of longing to connect with our deepest and highest selves and with our individual and collective capacity to wake up, to love, and to live fully awakened and engaged. They seem to understand that longing can create and form a bridge between what we are, what we know and experience, and what we long for in life. We long to connect to our best selves and the best selves of others, to weave communities of connections that are real and transformative. We long to be sustained and fulfilled not by things, but with the deep sustenance of relatedness within, among, and beyond. Longing also creates a bridge to the God-shaped hollow of emptiness that every human being carries and with which each of us must contend. I would even argue that longing emerges from the God-shaped hollow and can lead us toward positive and life-enforcing practices or self-destructive habits of denial and fear. In a society that consistently tells us over and over again that we can fill up the hollow with things, it is countercultural to learn to accept or befriend that emptiness. Perhaps no one spoke more clearly about the role of longing in the religious life than Rumi, 13th century ecstatic poet, teacher, judge, and mystic, who discovered Sufism in his travels as a young man. He and Sufism were both transformed by the encounter. Now, I want to pause briefly here and share something with you I think worth remembering. 3 years ago, when marking the 800th birthday of Rumi, professors and Islamic scholars Fatma Kashvaj and James Morris told an NPR audience that 80% of the Muslim world converted after poets and musicians carried Rumi's work there. In every place but the Arab world, Rumi's face is one of the prominent faces of mainstream Islam. What the poet has to teach resonates with people all around the world in the language of longing, connection, and love.
Don't go anywhere without me. Let nothing happen in the sky apart from me, or on the ground in this world or that world, without my being in it happening. Vision, see nothing I don't see. Language, say nothing. The way the night knows itself with the moon, be that with me. Be the rose nearest the thorn that I am. I want to feel myself in you when you taste food, in the arc of the mallet when you work, when you visit friends, when you go up on the roof by yourself at night.
A Sufi master told a story of a man who was sent a prayer rug while he was imprisoned by his friend. He was bitterly disappointed because what he wanted was a file or a crowbar or a key. But in his boredom, he began to use his rug to pray 5 times a day. And slowly over time, as he bowed and sat and bowed again, he noticed an odd pattern in the weave of the rug, where his head touched. He meditated on the pattern, gradually discovering that woven into the rug was a diagram of the lock that had unjustly confined him in his cell, and he was able to escape. Sufis seek a freedom received from the mystical experience of oneness, and they do so in three related but distinct practices: ecstatic union, noetic or intellectual union, and love union. And today, Katie and I will touch separately on these practices which spring from spiritual longing. First, noetic union. Noetic knowledge, as Rumi scholar Coleman Barks refers to it, is not based in factual knowledge, but it is how we see the world, how we come to know our world, and it is based in intuitive knowledge. It begins with noticing, and then moves to understanding, and then connection. For the aim of all mystical practices is the reunion of that which appears to be separated. Coleman Bark writes, "The world remains in view with its significance recognized. The sudden opening of one's eyes to the elaborate, extravagant beauty around us. The gorgeous dirt road leading to the river. 3 million galaxies. The gold around a frog's eyes. The intricacy of the present moment. All the wealth we need." The clarity that Rumi calls reason is a brilliant lawfulness, the coherence in any system, and the mystical and the scientific both attend the same layered intelligence, the grand and precise artistry of existence. The interconnected web of existence with its grand and intricate connections calls us out of the tomb of our forgetfulness to notice the beauty that surrounds us, the beauty and brokenness that is present in all. Come, come, whoever you are, wanderer, worshiper, lover of leaving, though you have broken your vows 1,000 times, ours is no caravan of despair. Come, come, yet again come. Will the families of our babies please come forward, and we welcome our friends from Spirit Play who come each time we dedicate our babies.
Wallace Robbins, minister of our church from 1937 to 1943, was fond of saying, "We dare not fence the spirit. As others have their way in religion, so do we have this faith, and by it we order our lives together." There are some traditions who believe that every child that comes into the world already sinful and must be cleansed of that sin by act of the church. That is not our way. Despite the evidence that sin is real, we do not believe that it is inborn. We believe that every child born is born whole and holy with the potential to live a full and loving life. And so today, we do not wash away these children's sin, but instead, we promise, as a community, to be there with them and for them, with them and for their parents, in helping them to live that whole and holy, loving life in which we believe and in which we place our hopes. And we go on and bless you, my child, with the ground, the earth, dirt, that you might remember you have a body and it's beautiful.
And we bless you with fire. You might know a passionate mind and heart, know a body that brings you pleasure, that you might have an upright sense of morality and love.
When we bless you with the air, that you might follow your breath to stillness, that you might find your voice for singing and for praying and for protest.
And lastly, we inspire you and bless you with beauty. And these roses still have their thorns, because we would not want to lie to you about the world that you have been born into. But we tell you that we will, and this faith tradition will, serve to be with you as you discover life's thorns and remind you of the beauty.
What name have you chosen for this child? Jonathan Harry Seymour, we name you as your parents have named you, born one more Redeemer.
As you are able to join with us in the dedication of the children.
It is our faith that each child born is one more Redeemer.
It's a tradition. We commit ourselves to the nurture. Are you ready to dedicate yourself to Jonathan Henry Seymour, Phoebe Joy, Jonathan Sheehan?
We'll be stronger to love and cherish them in times of struggle, as well as gladness.
We will love and cherish them always. We acknowledge the divine spark within each child.
May we be worthy guardians of these compounds.
May we build a community
in which they will grow,
surrounded by beauty,
embraced by love,
and cradled in the arms of peace.
Gift reception to welcome John and Phoebe to this community in the central room following service. And Hilton, will you please come up? Good morning.